The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The 7-10 five-day forecast calls for partly to mostly cloudy today. Temperatures actually not too bad. We'll be in the lower to middle 40s, upper teens and low 20s tonight. Cloudy and colder Saturday. Highs upper 20s with areas of light freezing drizzle and light snow by afternoon. Areas of fog, light freezing drizzle and snow, cold. Single digits Saturday night. Very cold Sunday, Sunday night and Monday with areas of light snow. High Sunday only making the teens, only single digits Monday. Meteorologist Don Day on 710 KNUS.
News Talk 710 KNUS.
Listen live on Odyssey.
Portions of the following program have been pre-recorded. Text the studio directly on the 710 KNUS app. Get it free at the App Store or Google Play.
I am still living with your ghost.
4 minutes after seven, good morning and welcome. I'm John Caldera in for George Brockler, who's out playing Soldier Boy. My number is 303-696-1971. And while he's gone, what do they call this? Executive privilege? I get to talk about some of the things I like. So, as you know, I run the Independence Institute, and I hope you go there and check out what we do. Go to thinkfreedom.org, thinkfreedom.org. We work to lower your taxes. We work to keep Colorado free. The reason we have our flat tax rate, the reason we have the taxpayer bill of rights and term limits and concealed carry and charter schools and all sorts of good things is because of the 38 years that we've been working here in Colorado to push for limited government and more individual freedom. Check out CompleteColorado.com. That's our news service. We do it every day. It looks like the Drudge Report, but we aggregate stories from different news sources around the state and never a paywall. That's CompleteColorado.com. That's CompleteColorado.com. Personally, I have this terrible, terrible economic bug. I follow what do they call it? Classic Austrian economics, which is the worst way ever to pick up a girl. I'm amazed that classical economic guys can ever reproduce. And it's a lonely world to find people who follow the money supply and understand this stuff and try to figure this out. And when I found a few of them, it's a small world. So when I found Dave Burns, who has this terrific Substack service, it's called Live Better Now. I've just been wanting to talk to him, and he and I have been communicating through email. And I was like, I need to talk to this guy because I've learned so much. So I hunted him down. So Dave, thank you for joining me on 710 KNUS. It's a real delight to finally talk with you.
Thank you, John. Thanks for having me. And that's great work you're doing as well. And I just say, you know, when it comes to the ladies, I don't lead with the money supply. That's how I would do it.
Really?
I did manage to have three kids. So I was able to keep it under wraps until it was
too late. You didn't start off by going, you know, Ludwig von Mises was absolutely right about his theory on the business cycle.
No, we didn't start with that one.
Because I have done that every time. And every time I said that, almost immediately, women rip off their shirts. I don't know how that is. It's just been incredible.
Yeah.
It's just been incredible. When you say, do you realize what the Fed is doing? And they go, give me a baby now. Put a baby in me now.
You go, what's the Fed?
What's the Fed? You're going to feed me? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So I have been consumed for years by how our money means nothing that the American dollar is a faith-based institution. That, you know, it used to be that our dollar was backed up by some sort of commodity, gold, that a $5 bill, you could walk down to the Federal Reserve and throw them a $5 bill and they'd throw you an ounce of silver, and it was backed up. But when you see throughout history hyperinflation, it's only because there was nothing to back it up. So you think about what happened in Germany before World War II. You think about what happened in Zimbabwe. You think about in any nation where they have what's called fiat currency, just that the government needs more money and they print it up, bad things happen. And so for those of us who worry about the Federal Reserve over the last several decades, and more recently between Bush and then Obama and then now Trump with COVID, and then with the current president with all the stimulus, oh my God, we have been printing and printing and printing and printing and printing and printing. At some point, doesn't it all explode? And so I've been reading your stuff, and you put it in a pretty layman's term. Where are we in this, and why is that such a danger?
Well, you know, there's an Ernest Hemingway line that it said, "How did you go broke?" And he says, "Well, gradually at first, and then suddenly." And that is a lot of the ways that central banks destroy money. It's gradually at first, and everyone thinks, well, those folks warning about hyperinflation, they must be crazy because we've been printing money forever, and look, nothing happened. Everything's fine. And then suddenly it all goes wrong. So, you know, I think we are still in that early stages. We're still in the gradually phase, but we're starting to see some chaos arising right now. And I'm calling 2023 the year of economic calculation chaos. And what that boils down to is essentially those who want to produce, those who want to take on challenges in the marketplace, make decisions, take on risk, take chances, are going to have a hard time calculating whether or not their ideas are going to work out. In all of entrepreneurial activity, there is an element of educated guesswork. But when you remove a stable unit of measurement by which you can determine what prices are going to be, what your costs are going to be, what your profits might be down the road, you start to get chaos. And we start to get what we see when it becomes extreme is what you saw in, say, the Soviet Union in the last days of the Soviet Union, where nobody could determine what needed to be produced by whom, where, and when. We're starting to see the beginning of that now because prices are losing meaning. They're swinging so rapidly because of the, I call, you know, the lead foot on the gas pedal, print as much money as possible, and a panic response to COVID shutdowns, and then, you know, slam on the brakes, and we get what is now about 13 months of incredibly, what in other context be very deflationary and somewhat reasonable monetary policy. Instead, in the backdrop of the boom that was created, now prices for discretionary items are crashing or not rising nearly as fast as they were. It just makes it very difficult for a person to make decisions in business activity. And that's just beginning. Again, it's in the gradually phase right now.
So help me with this. And by the way, for those who might be uninitiated in this, why free markets matter is that prices matter. Prices are truth. And so what something is, prices are the scorecard of what is going on in reality. And when people are trying to figure out where to put their money, where to put their investments, what to do, prices, that's where they can look at things and say, oh, that costs this much. I have this much. The cost of money is the interest rate. I think things are going this way. I'm going to invest in building this or investing there or buying this factory, and it's all going to be worthwhile. I can make decisions because I have a degree of certainty. not absolute, but you know, I have a sense of it. When you don't know what prices are and you don't know what prices are going to be, you go, if I don't know what the prices of eggs are going to be in 3 months, am I going to build a chicken coop? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. And so when you've got the government messing in the pricing system and you've got the government willing to throw lots of money into the system and changing the prices of everything, it's hard to make those decisions. So when you say this year it's going to be calculation chaos, you're going to see an economic slowdown because businesses and businessmen or business financiers are going to go, you know what, I'm just going to sit on my money for a while until things calm down. Does that mean a recession?
It exacerbates an already existing recession setup that we have where, you know, if you think about the theory, the Austrian school theory of the business cycle, we were already headed for a recession or severe recession.
And again, stop there for a second. By the Austrian theory of the business cycle, we were heading for a recession because the Fed is contracting the money supply. The money supply is the fuel for the business cycle. The supply goes down, the stock market follows, the market follows, and so we're going to have a recession. Then they're going to flood the money they're going to flood it with money, and it'll go back up. So that was going to go down.
Yeah, in the standard theory, you don't even need a contraction of the money supply. You just need a slowing of the rate of growth that sustained the boom. So, you know, say you're increasing the money supply by 10% per year. This is a very simplistic example, and that creates a boom phase. Well, that amount of credit needs to be sustained in order to continue the boom. Of course, the pain of inflation and rising interest rates will eventually ruin any central banker's plans. So you don't even need to just turn around and contract it for the boom to eventually crash upon itself. And really, it's important for people to remember this because they always forget it when the bust happens. The bust isn't the problem. It's the boom that's the problem. That's where people need to look. The easy credit, fueled economic activity that wasn't sustainable.
But it never feels like the problem because everyone's making money.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, so let's get down to the nitty-gritty here, which has always been my problem. So a lot of people put out, kind of Kiplinger's letter with all sorts of advice because everybody knows where to put your money and how to make money and everybody blah, blah, blah. So I'm thinking about putting out my own investment newsletter. And what I do, it's actually going to be very successful, is I just put out a list of everywhere I invest. And as long as you do exactly opposite, you will do very, very well. So, you know, right now, as you see it, if your window, let's say, is a year and you've got a dollar and you want to get the best return that you can by the end of 2023, what kind of markets, what kind of things would you do with that dollar? Not specific stocks or something, but you know, what do you put it in? Do you just keep it in cash? Do you put it into gold? Do you put it into Bitcoin? Do you put it into oil and gas companies? Do you buy meth? What do you do given where you see us going in this year of calculation chaos?
Right. Well, depending on your level of investment savvy, I would say you start with the simplest thing, which is I would hold dollars to some extent right now. You said the time frame is just a year, but with the backdrop of the flat money supply we've had for 13 months, the strength of the dollar, I would consider that if I had no investment savvy whatsoever and wasn't sure what to do. I think that we're safe right now with gold and Bitcoin. Both of those had pretty severe corrections and bottomed out. So even if there's a sell-off, I don't think that either one is going to suffer too much. And then I would look at stuff that's a little bit safer too, at bonds and things like that. But I would definitely stay away from the stock market. Right now, I think that is a really dangerous play. There might be some dividend players that are worth holding through a severe correction. But I don't think 2023 is a year where we're going to see a rising stock market. So I would, until the Fed reverses policy, and even after that, historically, since the Fed has always been slow to act, crashes tend to come right after the Fed reverses policy. So I would be very careful.
Really? So with that when this great pivot comes and the Fed say, all right, we're now lowering interest rates and we're throwing money back into the market, right away people will say, great, I'm putting money into the S&P. I'm going to buy stocks again. Your advice is hold off a little while?
Well, the historic, again, correlation is not causation, but there has been historically a crash right after the pivot. And it kind of makes sense if you think about the theory. The Fed is always backward looking, right? So it's always looking in the rearview mirror, and the damage has already been done by the time they pivot. So when they pivot and everyone thinks, oh, everything's great, that's when the bad news rolls in, right? You start getting the really terrible economic data, and then – you know, the wheels come out.
Right. So if somebody is looking at, they've got that dollar and they're going to retire in 5 years. And this is, you know, for me, I don't think inflation is going to go away real fast. I know everyone thinks, oh, look, the numbers are coming down. The numbers are coming down. My gut tells me that this is a lot stickier situation than the Fed realizes. This is not a 1 year situation. This could be much more like the 1970s type of situation.
Well, yeah, there's the two sides of the house here: the monetary and the fiscal, and the fiscal is out of control. At some point, that debt load has to be serviced. So,
and for those who might not know the difference, the monetary is what you talk about, the Feds having a supply of money. They're the ones who actually print the dollar bills and how many dollars are flowing around. But the other side of it is that the Congress keeps throwing money around with debt spending. So they're pumping money that the Fed hasn't even printed yet.
Correct. And so that's going to have to be serviced as well. So at some point, the interest rates will have to come down or be forced down just because the interest on the debt itself is going to be too much to handle. And when we turn and the Fed starts to go to the next round of easing, so to speak, and money printing, they're going to have to push on that gas pedal harder than people would expect. And we're already going to be in an environment with a lot of inflation under the surface. The Fed's balance sheet is still going to be astronomically high. They're not going to get it down anywhere near where they want to. Right now, it's still sitting on $8 trillion. And, you know, it's set up to be, as it always is, kick the can down the road. The can gets bigger and bigger. It's getting real big now.
So at least if I got this right, the Fed, the money supply is about $8 trillion. So
that's the Fed's balance sheet right now. That's
the balance sheet.
How big their balance sheet is. Yeah.
How much money is in the economy? What's the money supply?
Well, that's a difficult question to answer because you have all kinds of different ways to measure it. Let me pull it up real quick. It gives you M2 at least.
Yeah, M2, so I forget what the trillion. M2 supply is. So our debt is what?
30? M2 right now is sitting around $21 trillion, but then you have M1, you have other kinds of
monetary. So M2 is $21 trillion. You know, our debt is so big that if we took every dollar we had, we wouldn't pay off the debt. You know, it's that big. So for those of us who can do simple math, and we look at, and this is what keeps me up at night, I look at the situation, I know we're kicking a can down the road. Environmentalists worry about the end of the earth because, the earth is warming. I go, that's not the problem. The problem is we're going to have a fiscal crisis unlike anything we've ever seen. I don't know when it hits. Does it hit in my lifetime? Does it hit in my kids' lifetime? You cannot keep spending money you don't have without the bill coming due. You know, so either they're going to have to print up a whole bunch more money to devalue all the debt, in which case you just have hyperinflation and only bad things come of that, or we're going to have to choke down all the money that all the spending that government does, and have ridiculously tough, a social change where people don't have governmental services like they demand, and people will revolt there. At some point, you keep kicking this explosion down the road, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. At some point, it's going to explode.
Absolutely. And you can't make anyone happy in Washington. So the problem is continue to persist. And, you know, we could talk about bringing all the troops home from overseas and how much money that would save and reducing the American empire. No one wants to hear that. The social programs could be reduced and the waste there. No one wants to hear that. The lobbyists are entrenched, and it is a difficult situation. There really is no way out for the U.S. government.
Well, that was cheery. Thank you. That just made my day. All right, so back.
Well, you don't
back
lead
to the
with
usual,
that.
So back to the usual question. You know, here's a guy, you know, raising his family. He finally has that extra dollar, and he doesn't want to lose it to inflation. He needs to put it someplace, and he wants at the end of the day that $2 turn that $1 to turn into $2. If he puts it in the right place. I traditionally know where to put it in the wrong place. You know, so
I wouldn't approach it that way, especially if you have a family. You're not looking to change $1 to $2. Why do people save, or why should people save, right? Before we had fiat money destroying our savings, what was the purpose of it? You knew that if you didn't spend today, you got more tomorrow, right? And when you just save dollars, it never happens. Now, is there an instrument out there that if you put your money into it, you'll get more tomorrow? Well, people say the stock market, but that takes a lot of knowledge. There's a lot of risk involved there. And it's not necessarily true that you're going to have more tomorrow. And we're seeing that right now. I think Bitcoin is a good bet for that. I think gold is a solid bet for that. I prefer Bitcoin to gold, but gold is a good bet. But other than that, there isn't a lot if you're trying to have more tomorrow than you have today by withholding your spending. That's probably the way to go. And that's the way I would approach it, too. I would be careful with people trying to turn $1 into $2. The fiat currency has turned us all into gamblers. It makes everyone a gambler. They have short time preferences. Don't try to turn one into two. Try to have more tomorrow than you have today because you abstained from spending. That's the way to approach it. And it's really the only way to go. And if you do that,
let me challenge you on that, Dave.
You'll be better off than other people.
Again, Dave Burns with the Live Better Now Substack publication. Go to substack.com. Look for Live Better Now. It's just I find it a must read. Let me challenge you on that. The stock market, historically, over time, even with all the huge dips, has by far been the safest and most profitable investment. You keep putting your money in the S&P 500 and nothing else, a nice index fund, you will do very well over time. It's the easiest, simplest thing to put your 401k in. You'll ride it through the dips, and historically, I think you'll do really well. Gold looks pretty. It just sits there. It can, at best, it can hold its value, but it doesn't pay dividends. It sits there. It looks nice. You can play with it, but it doesn't produce anything. It just can't be devalued. Like Bitcoin, there's only so much of it, and that's cool. That's really fun. When you say try to not spend your money, part of me thinks, you know what, when they're expanding the money supply, aren't you an idiot not to go into debt? This whole idea of teaching your kids save money, save money, save money. No, if they're going to throw money at you and keep interest rates dramatically low, they're not as low right now, shouldn't you go crazy into debt as much as you can on some assets, you know, homes, buildings, not vacations, but, you know, assets. And then when inflation hits, you are paying back that debt at a discounted rate.
So there's a lot to unwrap there, and there's some of it that's true, and there's some that's maybe philosophical. When it comes to the stock market, if you have the discipline to just buy SPY, for example, and just hold that forever, you're going to do okay. Most people don't have that level of discipline, and I would suggest that anyone who is buying Bitcoin and gold and wants to be diversified and make sure that they're going to be protected against any kind of government intervention should also carry some SPY. Most people don't follow the money supply.
SPY, for those who don't know, is the index fund for the S&P 500.
Right. Most people don't follow the money supply. They have no idea that we're increasing the amount of money, that we've stopped increasing it, or when we do it, et cetera. So if you buy at the wrong time on the S&P 500, just like you do for everything else, every other asset, you can spend a long time waiting to make your money back, even a generation in some cases, depending on how severe that correction was or how close to the peak you bought. If you're following the money supply, then it's even easier to kind of keep up with things if you're just buying the SPY and gold and Bitcoin, et cetera, when things are in a boom phase. As far as going into debt.
Actually, stop there for a second. And sure. You can follow those things, the money supply, easily by following your Live Better Now Substack. That's why I read you, because I follow the money supply and I get the numbers and I put it in a little spreadsheet. And I also look at yours and compare to see if we got the right stuff. I got to run to a break because they're going to slap me. Can I hold you over for a break, or do you need to run and get to work?
Yeah, you've got me this morning for maybe about 20 minutes.
All right, let me hold you over. I'm John Caldera, in for George Brockler. On the line with me, Dave Burns. He used to sing for the Talking Heads, but he gave all that up just to follow the money supply. No, completely different guy. I'll be back right after this. Give us a call, 303-696-1971. You're on 710 KNUS.
Trouble out west this morning. Couple of issues. Our first highway crash, westbound I-70 at the base of Floyd Hill, right at exit 244. That is blocking up the left lane, causing a delay. Now, eastbound 70 shut down at the base of Floyd Hill. That is sunshine glare and traffic being detoured. Eastbound 70 at exit 244. Drive in the metro area, picking up a little more traffic. I-76, 270, I-25, 225, dealing with some delays, but no big problems. Off-highway, there's a crash. Platte Canyon at Mineral. I'm Susan Thielen.
This report is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with their easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com.
It's 36 minutes after. I'm John Caldera, in for George. Give me a call, 303-696-1971. All right. This is the kind of weird stuff I'm into, which is monetary policy. Yeah, some people collect Beanie Babies. All right, fine. I just believe we have done such a horrible job teaching people basic economics. And we keep hearing about the Fed, which I think is the biggest destructive force in America. Why? Because the Fed controls what's known as the money supply. Used to be, way back in the before days, that America had something backing up its money, namely gold. So when you held a dollar bill, it meant something. I mean, you could carry around a gold coin. It was pretty bulky. But when you held a dollar bill, it was backed up with that. Well, lots of countries have paper dollars, paper currency. And all that backs it up is, well, nothing. Absolutely nothing. And so it's the faith of the guys who print it that gives you some sort of faith in the piece of paper. Fortunately, the United States is a pretty good country. And as long as you limit the amount of dollar bills printed, then it becomes a good currency because it's worth something. But if you could just print them and print them and print them and print them, it becomes monopoly money. And it's worth nothing. You see this in country after country after country. Well, it's getting to be that way here. And whenever you do that, inflation follows. The same thing happens when on fiscal policy, when our Congress just starts going into debt and throwing money they don't have around. What they're doing is they're spending money that our kids, grandkids, and great-grandkids haven't earned yet, which is one of the most sinful things any elected official can do. $31 trillion in counting of money our kids are going to have to pay so that we get stuff now. That's just immoral. It's not unethical. It's immoral. And so I follow what's known as the Austrian business cycle. Why? Because apparently I never want to have a girlfriend ever again. And so I always read Dave Byrne's work on Substack. He's got this great piece called Live Better Now. And he does all sorts of great other stuff other than look at the money supply and other things that are going on. But I just love it. Dave, I really appreciate spending some time with you. If people want to read your work, how's best to do it?
Well, thank you, John. Yeah, livebetternow.substack.com. That's Live Better Now. And it is not just about the money supply and not just about not getting girls. It we dive into other topics as well. Basically, how to live a good life if you cherish freedom, which is sometimes difficult to do because this world can be fairly anti-freedom. I think we've seen that very clearly over the last couple of years. And you know, do you want the world to get to you, or do you want to live in it in a positive way and also promote the ideas of freedom? And that's what I get at that Substack.
And it's great to have it come into my email box. So I really enjoy it. And I've been meaning to talk to you for a long time. So I appreciate you spending a little time. All right. So right now the Fed is doing something responsible. They have been contracting, slowing down the growth of money. This is a good thing because when you look at the money supply, it's just been expanding and expanding and expanding, which means money is worth less and less. If the money supply doubles, really what that means is your money is worth half as what it was last year. If 1 year the money supply is $1 million and next year it's $2 million, really that means what you have in the bank just got cut in half in value. It's thievery of savings. And that's where I've always been surprised that inflation hasn't come and stolen all our work. And now it's come and stolen a lot of our work.
Well, John, there's a couple different ways they can create money. And the different ways that money is created impact inflation as well. And one of the reasons why inflation was not raging for a lot of time is the way money is created in a fractional reserve system. If you allow the market some freedom to dictate when money is created, new money in a fractional reserve system that's being loaned out to businesses to expand, well, that's increasing production. That should be fulfilling more economic wants, increasing supply of goods and services. And that offsets a little bit of that monetary creation. You still get the boom bust cycle, but the price inflation doesn't rage like if you just say, well, we have COVID and let's give everybody $1,200. In there, there's no matching economic activity in which production is increasing. We are getting fulfilled. Instead, we're just giving people money to sit at home. It was the worst possible way to create money, really. And of course, this is the worst inflation possibly we've ever seen, depending how you measure it.
It's not the worst you've ever seen. Mind you, well, it's the worst I've ever seen because during the 70s, it was my old man who had to deal with it. I've seen it, but it was his problem. Now it's our problem. So it's the worst I've ever seen. So dealing with this, I left you with this question, which was, if we're living in inflationary periods, then isn't debt on a personal level a great thing? For instance, I kept refinancing my house. I just kept refinancing it and refinancing it every time the interest rates went down. I don't think I'm going to sell the house anytime soon. So I've got a house with an interest rate of 2.5%. And my thought was, yeah, I've got this ridiculously long 30-year loan. But when inflation hits, my loan payments over time will seem lower and lower and lower in real dollars because it's going to become smaller and smaller. Inflation on that debt will be a good thing. So why not do more debt if you know inflation is coming?
Well, a lot of people found themselves doing just that in the mid-2000s, you know, buying up houses and flipping them and having several mortgages and, you know, owning several properties. And then when the bust happens, they find out that they were over-leveraged. So there's a dangerous game that's being played and a bit of a greater fool theory at work if we start bidding up assets in response to inflation. You know, the government can get away with that because, you know, they can always just change the rules. You know, you can't change the rules. If you get foreclosed on, you can't just say, well, I'm the government and I'm going to change how much this is worth. So it's obviously a lot of us have lived through 2008. In fact, a 2008-2009 housing crisis has led a lot of people to the Austrian School of Economics because they predicted that that would happen. And it's a very dangerous game. And it also should be thought of in the context of, is it better than if our money supply was responsible, if it was economically driven, and our savings allowed us to increase our wealth just by working and saving? So you wouldn't have to play this game of trying to refinance at the right time and all that stuff. So, and then there's also the idea of being beholden to others. And there's a lot to discuss there.
Yeah, I'm not arguing the policy. I'm arguing the reality that if the feds are doing this and Congress is creating inflation, which they are, and I don't think it's going to change over the coming years, then isn't it a smart personal strategy to take advantage of it?
If you can. I mean, it takes some savvy. I mean, most of us are working. You know, we're trying to raise families. We have a lot going on already. It's a difficult game. It's not as easy as I'm just going to spend, and I'll be okay. You know that. It can be, a dangerous game if you start over-leveraging because there will be a crash coming. You have to pay the piper at some point.
Well, since my daughter's name is Piper, I pay the piper every friggin' day. So, yeah. Yes. All right. So let me ask you this. I asked you before if a guy has $1 and he wants to make the most of it over a year. And you said save it. Bitcoin, gold, a bond, that's the safest thing. Make more money than inflation is the goal. Now I'll ask you the same question, but his horizon is 5 years. Where would you put that dollar?
I would stack Bitcoin. I would always stack Bitcoin. The longer the time frame, the more I'm going to say Bitcoin.
Why Bitcoin? Because people, particularly older folks, look at Bitcoin and go, there's no there. So why in the world would anyone put a penny into Bitcoin when there's nothing there?
Well, there is something there. It's poorly understood because a lot of people don't understand computer technology and encryption, but there is something there. It's just more difficult to explain, just like it's difficult to explain to someone who's never seen a gold nugget what that is. But it's the hardest money ever created. It is most likely to retain its value against inflation compared to other assets for that reason.
The reason that economic goobs like you and I, Austrian economic goobs like you and I, love Bitcoin is the idea that governments, politicians, no matter what, cannot inflate it. They cannot make more of it. It's like the dollar being on the gold standard. If the dollar was on the gold standard, we would not love Bitcoin. We would not need Bitcoin if the dollar was locked onto some sort of commodity. But it isn't. And so when Bitcoin comes around and there is something that cannot be inflated, you can't make more of it, but it can be easily traded, guys like us, we go, what? This is what the world needed. So you believe it is a safe, secure thing, despite all the bank robberies that have been going on. And that's what those, you know,
relatively speaking, yeah, right? I mean, nothing is purely safe, and I wouldn't throw all of my assets into Bitcoin either, but I think as a long-term savings, it's the best option.
And that's where you'd put that marginal dollar. Yeah.
It is, all right. Yes.
I tell you what, we'll do this again sometime. People want to learn more. Where do they go again?
LiveBetterNow.substack.com.
LiveBetterNow.substack.com, or just Google it. Dave Burns, thank you so much. Really enjoy all the stuff you do. Again, it's nice to have one other geek to talk to, just to know I'm not alone.
John, thanks for having me. Have a great day.
Take care. Again, 303-696-1971. In for George. Keep it right here, 710 KNUS.
Couple of crashes this morning. Westbound 76 just before 74th Avenue. That wreck blocking up the left lane. Having a slow traffic there back to 96th Avenue. And trouble out west, westbound 70 at the base of Lloyd Hill. Crash there, exit 244. That's nearly a 30-minute delay.
7 minutes to the top. I'm John Caldera, in for George. My number is 303-696-1971. Tell you what, let's check in on the markets, see how the day is going with Brian Gray of Alpine Planning. Brian, give us your report.
Hey, good morning, John. How you doing?
Just terrific.
You know what? I agree with you on your topic you were just discussing on leverage. You know, John, I've never seen a tombstone that says, "I paid my house off in full when I died." So the refinancing, by getting that money at, I think, 2 and change, you said, great strategy. You ought to be commended for it. But let's continue to move forward here as we look at these markets this morning. We got the Dow currently up 82 points, S&P's up about 5, and the NASDAQ's up about 30 points. Going into today, all three major indexes are positive for the week. The Dow and S&P are up 1.7, and the NASDAQ is up about 3.3%. The big topic right now is Social Security, the reports that have been coming out the past couple of days. The last report that was issued in August of 2021 said Social Security would be out of money by 2034. The trustees now say it will remain solvent until 2035. However, if you're in your 40s and 50s and Congress does not act, they are estimating that your benefits will be slashed by 25% or more. So to your listeners, as you're sitting down and doing your planning, if you're relying 100% on Social Security, and we still see that today, you need to take a look at your 401ks and IRAs, and you need to start socking some money away. So if you need some help, give Alpine Planning Group a call. We'd love to sit down with you, give you a second opinion on what you currently do, and see if we can better your situation.
Brian, thank you so much. Alpine Planning Group is a comprehensive financial planning firm committed to improving your long-term financial success. Investing is a matter of trust, and they are prepared to earn yours. Call them today at 303-843-0918. That's 303-843-0918.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC and registered investment advisor. Alpine Planning Group and Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. are not affiliated entities. 14 West Dry Creek Circle, Littleton, Colorado, 80120.
All right, we've got just a minute or two here. So I tell you what, I want to revisit, when we get back, this Tyree Nichols announcement that's coming up tonight. It's not an announcement. It's the movie. It's the video. And I'm wondering what Antifa is doing here. I wonder what the socialistic movement is doing, the anti-police movement is doing. They're spending their time preparing to be enraged. They haven't seen it. They're already offended. They are planning their demonstrations. Planning demonstrations for something they haven't seen yet. We'll talk about that next. Keep it right here. You're on 710 KNUS.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.